Welcome to podcast recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org.
And today's message sounds like Greek to me, is by Reverend Barbara Wiest.
So ordinary miracles, are those ordinary miracles? Are those voices ordinary? Are they miracles? Yes, so deep in knowing the miracles of everything, every day. But when I think about ordinary miracles, I think that that means that everything is a miracle. Because anything that we think is ordinary means that it's happening every day in our lives, right? So when I think about the miracle of music, the miracle of song, it takes something in the vocal cords to be able to sing. That's a miracle to me. To be able to write music. What? How? If you're someone who can write music, it's like a piece of cake, well, kind of. But it flows through. If you play an instrument, there's something that resonates within that allows for that to happen. Music is such an integral part of my life. And when I recommended a song to Ari that you'll hear later, she came back with this one. And I said, well, of course you did, because it all connects. Everything connects. So when I think of ordinary miracle, what I think of is miracle, the word miracle. Now, I understand the science of how we are created physically. I understand the birds and the bees. But really? How, that we're created out of these microscopic things to be who we are walking in the world right now? What the heck? And we think of those as ordinary miracles. But if you go deeper and really get into it, well, you know what I mean. You know this always happens. Anyway, if I turn red, that's okay. That's just me. But there's something deeper going on than just knowing that there's science around things, right? There's something more. And when we come into a setting like this, I think that we have an opportunity to surround ourselves with others who believe in that as well. And so there's an upwelling of knowing that there is a deeper knowing and a deeper miracle. Now, in the song, it says, isn't it remarkable? Like every time a raindrop falls, it's just an ordinary miracle today. Birds in winter have their fling, see? But always make it home by spring. It's just an ordinary miracle today. Now, it's interesting. Mid-January, Reverend Bridget was doing a talk. And in her talk, I don't even remember what it was that she said, but some words came out of her was, oh, well, this is the Alpha and the Omega. And I was open because, you know, we after meditation and after music, I feel more open, and maybe you all feel the same. And right then I knew, oh, well, that leads me to Greek, Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and it sounds like Greek to me. So after her talk, I went up to her and I said, yeah, that's going to be my title for March, having no idea what that was going to do. But that's one of the ordinary miracles. It just seeds itself. And then I just watch how things happen after that. So that's how we got to this today. Sounds like Greek to me. And then at the end of January, so it was like a week and a half later, my son got a new job. And I said, okay, well, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, well, it's this thing is DAAS and blah, blah, blah. And I said, what? And he goes, data as a system. And then he starts talking away, and he saw the glazed look happen in my eyes. And he goes, oh, Mom, it's all Greek to you. Like, listen, where are the things that happen in your life where there's that something telling you to listen? When he said that, he had no idea that I was doing this talk and totally no idea what the title was. But he gets it. It sounds like Greek to me. A friend, and many of you would know Sandy Berry, passed away like 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago. And I had known her since 1989, and she remembers my son at 4 years old at the time, and we just really bonded and connected many times. And I remember her always saying, well, Barb, if you ever get remarried, I want to plan the whole wedding and everything. And I'm like, geez. You know, but she would say that for years and years and years. She wanted to get to know Nick more, my son, and then she couldn't wait until, if he decided to get married and have kids, she couldn't wait until she could see that little new one. Well, she passed away before she had a chance to meet Quinn. But I remember going for a walk after I heard about her passing, and a hummingbird came up. And I said, Sandy, hi. And I knew it was Sandy. I just knew it was. And so after she passed, and then a year or so later, I had Quinn over, my granddaughter, when she was a baby, well, still to this day, over at my house. And as you've heard me talk many times, I have this one egg-shaped chair that I go and sit out in outside. And I had her out there with me one day. And I had just fed her, and I was rocking her, and she fell asleep. And all of a sudden, bsh, said, hi, Sandy. And she was checking Quinn out. She made this connection with Quinn. And now, every time I see this certain hummingbird, I know it's Sandy. And I remember when Quinn started to walk, she would kind of crawl, walk over to the sliding door into the backyard. And one day, I looked up, and she was standing at the door. On the other side of the door, the hummingbird was right there looking at her. Is that an ordinary miracle? Witness when things happen in your life that create an opportunity for you to open up. Or where all of a sudden you'll feel so much joy. I'm like, where did that come from? Well, it came from opening. So think about that for yourself, where you get those messages. So how can I explain those moments that are miraculous, even when it feels like it's all Greek to me inside? There's more happening. Because I do have a 6-year-old granddaughter, you guys get to hear all these stories about Quinn, which I love, because she keeps me open, right? You can't be around a little one and not get open and frustrated at times, but open up for sure. So I have these books, and in one of the books that I read to her is an axolotl. Now, I thought axolotls were not real. But I found out they're real. we found something on TV where this guy goes around to these different ponds and he catches these axolotls. Now, they're little and they live in the water and they have these amazing tentacles, scaly feelers, whatever they are. And I found out that axolotls don't have to become, they don't have to metamorphize into adult salamanders. They can stay juvenile, they can still reproduce, but they can stay juvenile. Now, this is what went through my head the other day. I could see this axolotl in the water deciding to come out and look around and hanging out on a stick and seeing the salamander off on the side, knowing that that could be them somewhere inside if they wanted to be, and seeing this predator come down and get that one and take off, and that axolotl go, no, I'm going to stay in juvenile form and go back in the water. Now, I know a few people who still have decided to stay in that juvenile form. But that's all totally Greek to me. How does that happen? What is it that created everything that made it so that axolotl can make that decision? What? What goes on in our lives that has created it so that we can make the decisions that we make and move forward in our lives? So how do I explain the unexplainable? A friend of mine, hi Debbie, if you're watching, for 4 years we have wanted to go to Alaska to see the Northern Lights. It was on both of our bucket lists. She ended up moving from Gig Harbor to Knoxville, and yet we still wanted to do this trip. And so we had tried and tried and tried. And I remember doing a congregant call years ago, and they had mentioned going to see the Northern Lights, and they mentioned Chena Hot Springs, and for some reason, a lot of stuff does not stay in my mind, but that did. And so when we decided to go on this trip, she loves doing all the reservation stuff, and I'm like, that is definitely not my gig. She loves doing it. So she made a reservation. We were going to go a couple years ago, and the power up at Chena Hot Springs went out. They lost our reservation. So we canceled it that year. The next year, her mom was having some trouble. She needed to go and spend time with her mom, so then that was canceled. Well, finally, this year, the seas parted and everything happened. She got the reservation. So I looked at the weather report, and it said a high of 15 and a low of minus 40. And I thought, okay, I don't like getting cold. Well, so then why are you going to Alaska, right? Well, because you see the Northern Lights, it's usually in the cold weather. A lot of science around that, too. But there's something more. There's something else that can't be explained with the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights. So, friends, thank you, Austin, who works at Columbia. They said, hey, if you want to get a 50% off at Columbia, you know, come on and I'll give you the little coupon. So I went, because again, I do not like being cold. And I knew Columbia made some great gear. So I walk in and I think I saw you first, Austin, and I said, where do I go to get like the best gear for negative degree weather? Go over to the mountain gear area. So I go into the mountain gear area and this other guy's there and I ask him the same thing. I'm going up to Fairbanks and then out of Fairbanks too. What can I get? And so he guided me towards the stuff. I bought what I needed to buy. And if you want to stay warm, it's not cheap. 50% off, it's still not cheap. I didn't care. I do not like being cold. So I went and got all the gear, and I got it home, and then I got this hat, I got all this cool stuff. And then I felt, okay, I am ready. I am definitely ready for this trip. And as I was packing, there was a doorbell rings, and I don't usually get a lot of solicitors where I live. The doorbell rang, and why I went down again, spirit has its way, I decided to go and answer the door. And I got to the door, I opened it, and this man sitting there, and I'm like, yeah, what can I do for you? And he said, well, I'm here because I'm trying to get donations and stuff, people to sign up for NPR and that OPB. And I said, well, I do watch Masterpiece Theater sometimes. And he said, well, you know, and he starts talking, and I'm like, you know, I don't really have time for this. I'm packing right now. And I didn't tell him, you know, I'm going to Alaska. I probably shouldn't have said I'm packing right now. Like, hello, like you're going to leave and nobody's going to be at your house, but whatever. I trusted it. Anyway, I said, is there a brochure you can give me to remind me to look into this when I come back? And he said, oh, yeah. So he hands me this brochure. And it says OPB and how to donate. I went into the house, set it down on the counter. And as I sat it down on the counter, I looked at it. It has the Aurora Borealis on the front. What? So, I'm not making this up. That's why I brought this, because I'm not making it up. What that told me was, it's all good. It's all good. You had the fear of being too cold. You went and got the warm clothes. You know, the fear about the, you know, are we going to see the lights? Or are we not going to see? Because that was our main reason to want to go up there. It's like, don't just let it go. You've done what you can do. In this teaching, we say treat and move your feet. So if you have fear, you go through the 5-step prayer. You'll hear a little bit about that later. And then physically move. Just go forward, let it go, let spirit take care of all the rest. So it turned out Debbie came from Knoxville. We met up in Seattle, and then we flew up to Fairbanks together. And she has this app on her phone that follows the Aurora Borealis. It follows the Northern Lights. What was interesting is that at this place, the internet, it didn't work with me on my phone, but her phone worked. And so she kept checking it over and over and over again. And I'm like, oh, God, you got to let it go. And so anyway, the first hotel we stayed at, it was room 335, which is an 11, which is my number. Anybody who knows anything about me, 11. And I realized today is 3-8. 3 plus 8, 11. Okay, spirit, I'm getting that. So that was our first hotel. My son was born on 11-11 at 6:32, which is also an 11. So again, I didn't make this stuff up. It's real. So this is how spirit gets my attention. The prayer ended today when we went into silence at 11:11. There are no accidents. So I don't know what it is for you that gets your attention. If it's those numbers or animals or flying or whatever it is. But know that that's how spirit gets your attention to let go, open up, relax. So when we got to the hotel, Debbie looked at her phone and it said, oh, I don't know if we're going to get it, the day that we had signed up to go to see the Northern Lights. But it looks like the next day, it's hopefully. You know, Mother Nature decides to do whatever she wants anyway, but still, we were doing our part of what we, so decided to change it to the following day instead of the day that we were going to go. So, okay, we did our part. And then we went and we did these snowmobile rides and these dog mushing rides. And when we did the snowmobiles, I was a little nervous because I had never been on one. And I mean, I know how to drive, but it's a little different. I've been on jet skis, but I don't mind falling off a jet ski because you're falling in water. If you fall off a snowmobile or what, ouch, a little bit harder surface, right? So the guy said, okay, go ahead and go to the one that you want. I did the one right behind him because, I told him, I said, I'm a little nervous. And I didn't realize it until actually we were on our way, and I was fine by that time, and stopped to look around. that there was a number on all of the snowmobiles, and mine was number 11. It's like, oh, spirit, you're okay. Things are going to work out. Keep letting it go. Stay open. So I'm doing that. And then, the night of the trip, we were in a activity center area where we were supposed to meet before going out. Could you hand me my water? I got so darn excited, I'm like parched. Thank you. Just what I needed. We're standing there, and Debbie's still looking at her phone. That guy's, is the Aurora Borealis going to come? Is it going to show? Is it going to show? Like, we got to let this go. It's going to be there if it's going to be there. And we saw this guy, fairly tall, and he had on, what I noticed right away, was he had on a T-shirt that had the Fibonacci number sequence on it. Now, if you've seen Da Vinci Code, or if you know about the golden ratio, or if you know about anything with that, and I'm a math person, that got my attention. And so we started to talk with him. And I honestly believe, now I know Debbie saw him too, but I didn't really notice him interacting with other people. I think the nerd was an angel nerd. Because he was totally nerdy. He was great. He was describing all these things about the Aurora Borealis, and it turned out, we were asking him about why he was there. He wasn't even part of the group that was going up on this trip. He was just there. So I think an angel came out in nerd form, just for us. So he said that he had graduated from UC Berkeley in physics, and then he was doing his doctorate. And I thought, well, wait a minute, what happened to the middle, get a master's? I think he was so bright that he did it all at once and then went right to the degree, the doctorate degree. What he does is a group of these scientists go to where the Aurora Borealis is going to be, and they shoot up rockets to take information about the Aurora Borealis. Now, he was describing to me all these things about the Aurora Borealis and why it does what it does. So you can imagine what happened to my eyes. They kind of glazed over, and it was truly, it sounds like Greek to me, because he was like way out there. But what he did was so great. He said, let's go out to the back. There was an area, a viewing area, where we were staying at Chena Hot Springs, which is about 60 miles east of Fairbanks, out in the boonies. And we were concerned about how do we get pictures on our phones, because it's a totally different thing, I guess. I mean, I found out. So we went out back, and he said, well, you can kind of see them right there. So he grabbed my phone, and he showed me how to change it, the phone, to you take off the flash, you have to put it in all, don't even ask me to try to describe, because it's Greek still. I just know to do it on my phone, how to do it. And set it for 10-second exposure, which means that you have to stand still for 10 seconds while it opens up, right? At least I know that much. And then, so he took a picture and showed me, because you can see it with your phone when you can't see it with the naked eye. So I thought, okay. And then he got on his app. Now, he had a wonderful app. And he goes, oh, yeah, it looks like the Northern Lights, the Aurora's headed this way. I was so excited, and I knew it. And then it was like we had to go get on these vehicles, and poof, he was gone. Angel, I'm just saying. So this trip, it 30-minute ride. I even wrote down what it was called too. The vehicle is called a Banwagon 206, an all-terrain carrier. I had to look it up because it's huge. It's this massive thing. You have to take like 4 steps up to even get into the back of it. I mean, it's just amazing. And the trip, when we signed up, we knew it was a 5-hour trip. But I didn't tell you, it starts at 10:30 at night. 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. So we left at 10:30. It takes about 30 minutes to get up to the site, and we were there for 5 hours. Now, again, I do not like being cold. I was prepared. And it turns out I had clothing that would work for that as much as it could, and I didn't even have to use the stuff that I got at Columbia. But anyway, but it was great. It was a fun trip. Anyway, so I had like long johns, except they're the 32-degree ones that are supposed to, okay, 32 degrees is a long ways from what I'll tell you at that night was minus 15 with the wind chill minus 20. So 32 degrees is a lot. Still, I had that. I had on a pair of I guess they're kind of rain pants-ish. They were lined with flannel. I had another pair like that over the top of it. Of course, I had on my wool socks, these great boots that I already knew worked because I'd been to Wisconsin and Massachusetts in the wintertime. So I knew those worked. That was the bottom, right? So imagine the layers, right? The top. I had on another one of those 32-degree things. I had on a shirt from Columbia, and it has this metallic stuff on the inside that's supposed to help retain the heat. I had a turtleneck over that, and then I had a sweatshirt, a hoodie, that kind of long hoodie over that. Over all of it, I had like, it's a puffer jacket thing that goes down to my calf area, about that thick. I know I look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, but I was a warm marshmallow. So I was good, and then I had on these mittens, because they say if you do mittens, they're warmer for your hands. I also had some heat warmers, but that's nothing. Electronic heat warmer. It's also a charger, because what I found out is as you take pictures in that weather, the phone goes down like, doesn't have a lot, so you can charge. Also has a flashlight. Some friends gave this to me. They had an extra one. Actually, I had two. I had one on reserve. Kept that in my coat pocket. So I was set. I had the hand warmer. We got in the massive vehicle. We go up there. We get to the top. There was a group of 50 who had left an hour prior. And they had one yurt that they were in. They're huge yurts. I mean, probably 100 people could fit in those yurts. And they have chairs set up. So anyway, we got up there, and they immediately take us into, this is your yurt. The thing is they don't want to lose us. Remember which vehicle you're on, the name of your guide. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have to remember 2 things. The vehicle was Bear. I could remember that, Bear. That's all I needed to know. So we get in the yurt, they go through all the stuff of their chairs. If you get cold, you can come sit down. We have soup that we'll do for you, the cup of soups. We have hot chocolate, we have blah, blah, blah. And go out, the lights are out right now. So we go out. I got to see the northern lights. And they were dancing. I was dancing. And I got my camera out, took my glove off, put it under my arm, holding the camera there, getting it all set. Okay, boom, 10 seconds. This hand froze, but I had my handy little thing in my pocket, so I put my hand in my pocket as I'm holding 10 seconds. It was so perfect. I never lost this glove. I put it back on when I was done, and I would go in, warm up a little bit, come out, take more pictures. How do you describe the indescribable? Everything from beginning to end, from Alpha to Omega, worked. From the time we planned the trip to the time I got home, everything worked out. Pay attention to when you feel inspired. Put yourself in the position to be inspired. If it's through the little ones, be around little ones. If it's through music, perform music, play music, listen to music, sing music. If it's going to watch the whales come, right now they're in Hawaii and I've seen so many great pictures of these amazing animals. Scientifically, I understand, but I don't understand how they can be the way they are, communicating, singing to one another. So pay attention. When I was, there have been some stuff that's gone on in my life this past week that pushed out my talk writing. Usually I'll do it on a Monday or Tuesday, and there was just stuff that I didn't have it in me. It was enough to just stay present as I could. And so Thursday comes along, and I knew that I was going to be busy starting Friday, and yesterday I had some meetings, and then today. So when I woke up Thursday morning, I just was fighting it, procrastinating, not wanting to get out of bed. And it's like, what do we say? Treat and move your feet. God is, I am, the truth is, thank you, God, and so it is. So I'm laying there in bed, still feeling cranky, and saying, okay, there is a presence and power. And because there is, I know that that moves in me. And knowing that, it moves through everyone and everything. And I give such great thanks for that. Thank you, God. So it is. Now get out of bed and start moving. And I did. That's when I do my walk, because through my walking is when I feel like I can open myself up and I get spiritually fed. And I pay attention. So on my walk, not too long into it, I see two hawks. Now they're one of my animals, if you've heard me talk before. They speak to me, and I know, pay attention, pay attention. And on a previous walk, actually, I had seen another one as well. And as I was walking, I listened to music. It helps me just get out of my head and into my heart. And a song came on that I had never heard before, although I'd listened to that CD many, many times. So you'll hear it later, but I recommended that. And as I was listening to that song, it like also fit into this whole talk around this presence. How do we explain this presence? How do we stay in this presence? How are we motivated by this presence? What do we do in our lives? In this song, it's called All. I've had a world of possibilities slip through my hands and prayers that went unanswered that I couldn't understand. There's a faith that can move mountains, but I never let it move me. I only trust in things that I can see. Deep in my heart, deep in my soul, there was always something missing. Now you've got my full attention. I give you my life, surrender control. I finally learned to listen to the call. I give you my all. The only way for me to know that this is what I'm supposed to be doing is if I listen, open up my heart, and know that this is where I'm supposed to be right now. And that it will all work out. No matter what, it always works out. It just does, 100% of the time. May not work out the way that I originally desired or thought. I think we can all agree with that. But we're here, so something had to have worked out because we're here. So as I'm starting to feel really connected and surrendering, another song comes on, and it's called "There Are No Orphans of God." I thought, what an interesting statement. There are no orphans of God. And why is that? Because that presence that created everything created me, it created you, it's in everything, so we're never orphans. We're always loved. Always. There's nothing we can do about that. We're always loved. Period. End of sentence. As Quinn and I do, exclamation point. And I knew that. And I was feeling, I feel like the last 15 minutes of my walk, I don't believe my feet were touching the ground. That's how connected I was in that moment. Because I knew this talk has got to come out. I got to get it down now. So I was so excited, and I kept listening to this song all over and over and over and over and over again. So I was totally open. So I decided, I looked at my step counter, and I like to do about 5 miles, and I realized I hadn't quite gotten there yet. So I decided to add on, and I came down the street, and I saw something in the distance on the lawn. And I thought that it was a bird somehow. I don't know why I thought it was a bird. And as I got closer, I realized that it was a balloon. And I went up to the lawn, and I picked it up. It says, "I love you." Really? But the interesting thing was, I carried it home, and then I hooked it onto my chair, and it was floating. Now, help me understand that, or not, unexplainable. It was laying on the ground, on the grass. It was not floating, but it got my attention. How do you explain the unexplainable? Quinn was excited that I got a balloon because then she got to play with it. Messages come to us in so many ways. By the time I got home, I knew I had an appointment, a phone appointment coming up. I sat down about 11, of course. A few hours later, I'm sitting there just I opened to spirit. I allowed spirit to work through me because I knew I wanted to create an environment not only where I could feel inspired, but where I could describe that type of inspiration to all of you. Think about it. Where are you inspired? There's a Greek term called areta. It represents the highest virtues, our excellence, being your best self in any given moment, living up to your full potential, fulfilling a purpose, putting virtues into practice, not just understanding them, to know them. To be the best self means to be open to the many messages I have if I stay awake. That arete led me to another Greek phrase, it's all Greek to me. And this came from one of the seven sages of Greece, omnia mea mecum porta, which translates into, all that is mine, I carry with me. All of my possessions are internal, my wisdom, my character. They're not material. All that I am, I carry with me. All that you are, you carry with you. Why is that? Because when we're created, all that we are is created within us in that moment. So we can't not carry all that we are with us. It's how much are we willing to open up and allow that carefreeness to show up, to appear. Again, from the song Love of All. I give you my everything, all my life I surrender. And that's what I want to do more often. To live from that place of Areta, being my best self always, and then recognizing that the omnia mea mecum porto, all that is mine, I carry with me. So stay awake. In the Bible, it talks about those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Those who have eyes to see, let them see. And what it means is be awake. And the reason to do that is so that we can move into a deeper connection with spirit. It creates this spiritual awakening. All that I am, I carry with me. That might sound like Greek to you, especially when I read the Greek. But it's a reminder of who we are, the presence moving in us. I'm going to say the presence moving in, through, and as us as we move out into the world. So go ahead and close your eyes in this moment. And open up to spirit moving through you right now. Think about the ways that spirit gets your attention. Is it through your animals, your friends, children, laughter, music, grace, joy, the ocean? What do you see that inspires you? What do you hear that inspires you? And as you go through this week, allow yourself to be moved, to feel your heart open, to know love's presence, and knowing that we all have this opportunity to live of our higher selves, recognizing grace move through us, presence move through us, God move through us, whatever the word is for God, for you, love, joy, whatever that is. And what I say right now is that I'm so grateful that we have an opportunity to connect with one another, to open with one another, to be safe with one another. And as with all prayers, together we close with, and so it is. Thank you. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org. /donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.